Well, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you made your way. I hope you were in Sunday school an hour or so ago, and I'm glad you've come here today. Last Wednesday, we honored the veterans on Veterans Day here in the United States as we recognized those who had served our country in the United States military. Where are you this morning? Those of you veterans, would you at least wave at me? Let me see where you are. Hold your hands up so we can see. Isn't that great? We appreciate your service. I was thinking about those kind of things today. And, you know, that's a broad range of thing when you start talking about the military service of veterans, because it's varied. It's broad. Some who had their hands up this morning and other veterans in this country of ours served during combat. We've been engaged in major warfare on many fronts for as long as I've been alive and before that as well. And so some were serving during combat, but some served even during peacetime. That's good as well. Some served on the front lines. And some served in support roles, and some served in training roles. The point is, they all served. Some were drafted. Some of y'all have never heard of the draft before, but some were drafted, and others, like today, people volunteer to serve in the armed forces. Some came home in those days to ticker tape parades, and unfortunately, some returned home to hateful and verbal abuse. I think the tide maybe has turned in this nation, where now we see the value and what the appreciation of veterans is expressed, and some have not experienced that. But still, the point is, they all served. I came across this caption this week that I think is really... really pointed. A soldier, or those who served in combat, didn't do it because they hated the enemy in front of them. They served in combat because they loved those back home. Maybe the soldier next to him as well. Again, I just want to say thank you for your service. Well done, sailor. Well done, soldier. Well done, airman. And anybody else I probably left out. I want you to see this video that Josh Odom put together. And I think it's a stirring way for us to at least express our appreciation and our thankfulness to veterans. So watch this with me, if you will. Thank you. Don't you look forward to the day when the warfare is over? No more bombings, killing people like in Paris this week. No more enemies, battles to fight, people to give their life. No more necessity for a military. Folks, that's not going to happen until Jesus comes. And I appreciate you veterans. I was thinking about the similarities between the service of our veterans and the service of all Christians. All of us who are believers have a calling on our life. And again, as with the veterans, we're all called to serve. When we stand before the Lord one day, what are the words that we anticipate? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That means we've been engaged in the warfare. We've been engaged in the work. We've been in a lot of different roles. If you've read much of church history, you know that not only in the past have some Christians been called to be martyrs, but even today. But some are called to be peacemakers. Now, some were firebrands, mighty and out front in front of people, and others lived their life and served very quietly and faithfully in the place and the task that God gave to them. Some were great spokesmen for the faith, and others behind the scenes were prayers. Some fought in the great battles, the theological warfare and the heresies that have come along and continue to do that, and some have been called to fight that battle. Some have struggled with the minute details of how to serve the kingdom of our God. Some were recognized and remembered. Some were unknown and unappreciated. But here's the thing. They all serve. And if you're a believer today, you're called to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, these are going to sound like strange words in our day and time, but I want you to understand that in the day in which this was written, this was very much a part of the normal course of the Roman Empire. Many were slaves in this day and time of the Roman Empire. Now, different in some ways and in many ways than the slavery, when you say that word, it comes to our mind. But nevertheless, it's interesting the instruction that the Word of God gave to those in this context. Look with me in verse 5. I'm going to begin reading there. New American Standard is what I'm reading from. Some of your translations will use the word servant there. The word is doulos. It's literally slave. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. I see in this brief passage where we just jump right in there, he's fixing to say, but stand firm in the Lord, and talk about the weapons of our warfare. I see five reminders for Christian service. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been saved by his grace, you have been called into service. I would like to use the word, you've been drafted into service. But it's also something that we gladly accept. Almost to the point where it really is true. We volunteer for service in light of what he's done for us. Now here are five reminders. Because every one of you are serving in some different area. Here are some reminders. The first one is to do it well. Do your service well. He says there in verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Do it well. Do your work and your service well. Remember, even the quote where the soldier is not looking at his enemy as much as he's remembering who he's fighting for. Do your work well. Be exemplary in whatever your calling is. In whatever area you serve for the kingdom of God, in the church, and among the people of God, do it well. Secondly, do it with a good attitude. Look how he continues that. Do it with fear and trembling. Watch this, and in sincerity of your heart. In the sincerity of your heart. That means our attitude needs to be a good one as we approach our area service. And I say that to us as believers. We know this, but it is so easy to step in to a grumbling, griping mindset. Especially if we feel like we're not being noticed. Nobody's taking mind of what we're doing. We're not getting enough help. We're having to do... You know, I think about those of you who serve this congregation in extended time. There's folks down there right now looking after little people. God bless them. May God increase their tribe. Yeah? What a great service that they do as they pour into the lives of children. And they're doing that to serve others, to serve parents and grandparents as well. Those of you who week after week prepare for little people coming or for older people coming, let's just remember that we want to do it well. We're going to give our attention to it. We're going to do the best of our ability. And we're going to do it with a good attitude as well. Because of who we're serving. And that's kind of what he gets to in verse 5 there. We're to do it unto Christ. Our service is ultimately unto Jesus. Look what he says there in verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, here it is, as to Christ. Now watch this. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers. Listen, your service unto God is not to be done for the attention of, for the purpose of calling attention to yourself. It's to be done unto God, unto Christ Jesus our Lord, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men. Listen, if you have some difficulty with individuals in the areas that you're serving with, understand you are serving the Lord. And you're not doing it for their benefit, if that helps you. You're doing it ultimately for the Lord. So whether you're teaching a class or whether you're taking up the offering, whether you're passing out the bulletins or whether you're greeting people as they come into the place here, whether behind the scenes you've gotten things prepared for everybody else for their comfort. You know, we have the the joy of living in a day when we have air, we can condition. But somebody turns that on and turns it off. Somebody opens the doors and closes them. We have lights, I'm glad, but they were not any good if somebody didn't turn them on. Whatever we do, we're doing on our service unto individuals, yes, for the body, but ultimately unto the Lord. So whatever it is, we do it well. Look at verse 8 though. Do it, our service, our job, our responsibility. Do it looking for the reward. Look what he says here. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. It doesn't matter what your position is. We're to do it unto the Lord, and we do it with an understanding that our God is aware. Listen, don't feel like you're forgotten in your area of service, because I tell you, the one who really matters is very much aware. He sees what you're doing. And because he is such a benevolent God, because he cares so much for his children, listen, I don't understand it, but he is even going to reward us for the work that he puts in our heart, the work that he empowers us to do. Still yet, he will reward us. So remember, I don't have to have the slap on the back. We ought to do that for one another, by the way. But I don't have to have that, because the reward comes from the Lord. He's aware. When you're doing things to serve the Lord's kingdom, or to serve the body of Christ, to serve this church, to serve one another, and you think nobody cares, nobody, oh yes, they do. And the Lord rewards his children. Now, the last part here, verse 9, when he says, really back part of verse 8, whether slave or free, and masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You know, that tells me to do it, do our service, do our work, regardless of our station or position. Now, we would probably want to take these words that are here and say, all right, the slaves are the employees and the masters are the boss. If that helps you, that's great. Some of y'all would say, or our teacher. But still, regardless of whether you're the teacher, whether you're the person in charge, or whether you're the one serving in a support role there, listen, the Lord does not show partiality. And we are to treat with respect those that we work with. We're to do it with these things in mind. And it doesn't matter if you're in a visible position or behind the scenes. Again, our work is done unto the Lord. Be careful if you're in an area of responsibility and other people are looking to you for leadership. You do it well. You treat people well. He says here, do it without threatening, without using the big club, if you will. You encourage and motivate. But listen, if you're the one in charge or not the one in charge, our service is unto the Lord. Do it well. Do it with a good attitude. Do it unto the Lord. Do it looking for the reward. And do it regardless of our station or position. You know, I was thinking about how many times we see these kind of things in the Scripture, and the different roles and the different positions that people were in. I think back in the Old Testament, there was a guy named David who was eventually going to become the king of Israel. Do you remember who his best friend was? His best friend was a guy named Jonathan. Now, the interesting thing about it was these two guys were best friends. Their hearts were knit to one another. The thing that's interesting about it, though, is Jonathan's father is King Saul. And Jonathan befriends David, who is going to take Saul's reign when Saul fails. Jonathan is the one in line to be the king, and yet he defers to David. I just think it's a beautiful picture here of one whom God had anointed and had set to be the king of Israel, David, and yet Jonathan was willing to step into the role that God had for him, and to serve David well. I think about it, even in the New Testament with the apostles. You know, there were 12 men that Jesus, out of all the multitude, 12 men that Jesus chose to come and spend, do life with him for those 2.5 or 3 years there before he goes to the cross. And even among those 12, there were three guys that seemed to be kind of on the inner circle. They're the ones that are always seeming to be with Jesus when things are being done. You remember their names, don't you? Peter, James, and John. And so these guys sort of had a unique experience of being there on some of the most incredible things that Jesus did, like the Transfiguration and some of those kind of things. The rest of the guys weren't there. In fact, probably we would be hard-pressed today if I would say, okay, take out a piece of paper and let's write down the other 9 apostles, write their names down. I mean, these are the most significant guys in the beginning of the church, right? These are the guys that Jesus is going to entrust to get the gospel out and to make other disciples. And yet, many of those, we can't even name their names. Different roles. Different positions, if you will. And yet, serving the same master, serving in the same way. Oh, you think about Paul. I mean, Paul stands head and shoulders above all the rest of them, right? But who did Paul have as come alongside to help him? Well, he had the churches like the Philippi and Colossae, yeah. But he also had guys like Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Epaphroditus and others that came alongside. You see, all their service was unto the Lord. There was a gifted speaker. His name was Apollos. And Apollos had all the gifts. I mean, he could shine as he delivered a stirring sermon and whatnot. But he needed some instruction. He didn't know enough. And there are two individuals, Aquila and Priscilla, that pull him aside and invest their life in him and teach him and train him and instruct him and so that he goes on and makes a real difference for the kingdom. Listen, whether it's out front or whether it's in a supportive role, it's very, very important to see they all serve the Lord. I suggested the first of the year, this is a book to read this year. I put it out there so you, if you like to read, you could be encouraged by this. 131 Christians Everyone Should Know from the authors of Church History magazine. And it's been a fascinating read. Some of the people I really gravitate to, some of them I really don't agree with, but they are people who made an impact in some way for the kingdom. I was thinking about Polycarp. What a name. Don't name your kid Polycarp. Polycarp Gates. I'm saying that for my children's sake. I don't want a grandchild named Polycarp. But Polycarp was a very influential figure in church history. But in his 80s, he was burned at the stake. But he would not forsake his love for Christ. John Huss, in the 1400s, a great preacher and one who greatly impacted even a guy who's going to come later, Martin Luther, because of his stand for the Scripture and truth, was burned at the stake. I mentioned Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a monk that a teacher that nailed some theses, 95 things on the wall at Wittenberg, and from there, the Protestant Reformation came forth. That's why we're sitting in these pews today, by the way, where we recovered the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, greatly used of God. You probably heard of this guy. His name is Billy Graham. Ever heard of him? Billy Graham has preached to thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people over the course of his life. He's well up in age now, up in his 90s. Seemed like he was 97, if I'm not mistaken. Not in great health, but my soul, greatly used of God. There was a guy who in my day, a guy named Jim Elliot, you probably heard of him too, a missionary to the Aucas. And he and the guys with him were murdered by the Aucas, the very people they were trying to reach. And yet, on the blood of the martyrs, that whole tribe comes to faith in Christ in years to come. See, people were willing to serve the Lord and step out, even when it was difficult. I want to mention one other to you who's been a servant of the Lord, and her name is Gail Keaton. Anybody recognize that name? There's Gail. Gail has retired as of last week. She has served this church for 38 years. That's at least five, maybe more, pastors. There's a special place in heaven for somebody who does that. She has been a great support person in the life of this church. And many of you, do all of y'all recognize Gail? Do you know who that is? I wouldn't be surprised if many of you did not know who she was. And yet she has served in this church for 38 years and has done her work well behind the scenes. She's been a real help and a real resource for me. I put that up there because, you see, the areas of service that God calls us to are varied. You know, you may not get the chance to go down to the courthouse and nail some questions on the doors of the courthouse there that are going to turn the very course of Christian history. But you may be serving in an area behind the scenes in a support way that greatly impacts the kingdom of God. Can I just suggest to you maybe send Gail a note this week? And I'll come up here to the office to find her because she's not going to be here. She flew the coop. But send her a note during this new season of her life. We're going to miss her greatly. Well, that's a lot of other people, but really the issue is, what about you? What about your own service? You see, I believe it is God's plan for every believer to have a place. And that could be up front teaching. It might be behind the scenes praying. But everybody's got a place. Everybody's got an area of service. And why do we do it? Why do we serve the Lord? You remember, we take that verse, we love because He first loved us. Well, I tell you, we serve because He first served us. Why do we do it? We do it out of love for God. Because of what He has done for us, we gladly serve. We don't have to be twisting arms. We gladly serve the Lord. We do it for the love of Jesus. We do it for the love of His kingdom, that His name and His kingdom be spread across the world. And folks, I tell you, what happened this week is just another reminder of why the gospel of Jesus and the truth of Jesus needs to be in all the world so people will turn from these false beliefs, where people will turn from violence, where people will turn from hatred, where people will turn from overthrow and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it because the kingdom is that important, so we serve Him in whatever role He has called us to do. We do it for the love of His people. There's a unique and special love that the people of God have for one another because we're a family. You know, the picture is that we don't go to church. We are the church. We come fellowship with the family. That's what we do as we come here. And then, as I've mentioned, love for the lost. Love for the lost is why we do what we do. What's the common denominator? We all serve. Just as the veterans serve this country, and just as throughout church history people have served the Lord Jesus Christ, so you and I do it. We all serve. You know, I just wonder if I were to proclaim a national Christian Service Day the Sunday after Veterans Day every year. Well, probably that wouldn't be a proclamation that would work. But look, I can recognize you for your service. I'm looking at people who labor and who have served the Lord and served this church for many, many years. And I'm so grateful for you. But hey, listen, it's the Lord who will reward you. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. Man, sometimes we just want to give up. Sometimes we get a little weary, growing a little weary. Hey, we need to press on. The reward, the smile of God is ahead. Let me mention again, we love because He first loved us. We serve because He served us. This is what Mark chapter 10, verse 45, which is really, if I was going to pick a theme for the book of Mark, it would be this verse. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to, what does it say? Serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Can I just challenge you this morning as believers. And if you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ yet, we want you to come to faith in Christ. But let me tell you why it's serving Him is so important to us. Because you see, He served us. Here's the King of all the universe. Here's the Creator of all things. And He humbles Himself and comes to earth to serve us. That just seems so backwards. But it's why we serve Him now, because He came first to serve us. The verse there says that He came as a ransom. A ransom is something that is used to purchase. The price of the purchase of our salvation was the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He came to serve because we couldn't do anything about it. And He came and paid the price. The soul that sins, it shall die, the Scripture says. And listen, we could die for our sin, and that would be the justice of God being meted out. But Jesus came and paid a ransom, not for His sin, but for our sin. He bled and died and paid a price, a ransom for me and you. Why would I not serve one who loved me to that degree? But not only that, his ransom was as a substitute for me. He was my substitute. I'm the one that should have been dying for my sin. Instead, He stepped in and took my sin upon Himself and paid the penalty for it. He was my ransom. He's my substitute. He's my Savior. What is it that He saved me from? The very things that condemned me, my sin. The Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. I needed a Savior. I needed my sin to be dealt with, and all my good works and all my zeal and all my tears could never take away sin. I needed a Savior, and that's what Jesus was. And He came and He served us through His death, burial, and resurrection so that He might have the valid point to make. The payment for sin has been made. I paid it myself. I've been raised from the dead to show my power even over death and the grave itself. I will save and forgive my children. Why would I not serve a Savior that would do that for me? You see, we're the recipient of His service to us. We receive the service that He did. So what is the normal, natural? Well, what is the expected response to that? I will serve Him. I will serve Him. What else could I do? How could I withhold gratitude unto God? Again, hey, listen, salvation is completed in Christ. My service doesn't add anything to that. My service is simply an expression of gratitude for what He's done for me. I thank and applaud our veterans that are in this room today. God bless every one of you men and women. And I applaud those of you who are believers and a part of this body who are serving this body and serving the Lord here. I appreciate what you do. But listen, the reason we do that is because we have a King who served us. May we give ourselves to serve Him. If you're here today and you don't know this wonderful God, this Savior that we're so motivated to give our life in service to, I want you to know Him. I want you to understand who He is. I want you to understand what He's done for you on the cross. And I want your heart response to be a willing confession of your sin and a willing turning from your sin and a willing embracing by faith. In other words, trusting what He has done for you, for your salvation. I want you to experience the new life that's found in Christ. Oh, we want to talk to you about that. Perhaps God's done that work in your heart. Maybe the last few days or maybe even this morning the Lord is speaking to your heart. We would love to share in that. We would love to set up a time for you to follow in believers' baptism. We'd like to set up a time to tell you about how you could begin serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to sing a hymn here in just a moment, and I'd invite you to make that known Believer, let's commit ourselves afresh and anew to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to serve the one who served us when nobody else could. Not when we were lovely, not when we were cleaned up, but at our very worst, He came and served us. May our hands and may our feet serve others as well in His name. Stand with me, let's pray. Father, I pray.